aid for Ukraine.
I'm calling on Congress to do something and do the right thing, to stand with the people of Ukraine, stand against the tyranny of Putin, stand for freedom, literally stand for freedom. Let's get this done.
But Republicans demand better border security. Meantime, the Justice Department's filed war crimes charges against Russians.
The charges against two commanding officers and two lower-ranking Russian soldiers stem from the abduction, torture, and mock execution of an American citizen living in Ukraine. The Attorney General says these are the first-ever charges under the U.S. war crimes statute.
They are also an important step toward accountability for the Russian regime's illegal war in Ukraine.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
In the Middle East, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he is outraged over stories of sexual abuse endured by hostages in captivity.
I say to the women's rights organizations, to the human rights organizations, you've heard of the rape of Israeli women? Horrible atrocities, sexual mutilation? Where the hell are you?
His remarks in response to condemnation over Israel's bombardment in Gaza. Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's leaving Congress at the end of the year.
Giving my best to all of you has been my greatest honor.
But the move could make things more difficult for the GOP to get things done with a slimmer majority. In Texas, six people are dead following a day-long rampage. Reporter Chris Fox is in Austin.
Austin police believe 34-year-old Shane James began his rampage at 10:40 in the morning, shooting a school district police officer in the leg. Over an hour later, police received calls of a double homicide in South Austin. At around 5 p.m., a cyclist was then shot. APD was able to engage the gunman when responding to an active burglary at 7 p.m., where two more bodies were found.
The shootings reportedly started in San Antonio, where two more victims were found.
Well, we're moving on.
The man who created classic 70s sitcoms like The Jeffersons and All in the Family has died. Media expert Robert Thompson has more on Norman Lear's legacy.
In terms of entertainment TV in the United States, Norman Lear is the single most influential entity in the history of the media.
Lear was 101 years old. And she is absolutely everywhere, which is why Time Magazine picked Taylor Swift as its Person of the Year. Taylor's tour and concert movie have been huge, and she re-released two albums this year. She also started dating that guy on the Chiefs. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There was a recent rash of thefts in the area, with the perpetrator hitting parking lots in Nacoosa and Wisconsin Rapids. Sheriff Sean Becker of the Wood County Sheriff's Department speculated that the thief may have been from out of the area, as the thefts were concentrated to a short amount of time and have since seemed to stop. However, that doesn't mean you should drop your guard. Keep your vehicles locked when parked and keep valuables out of sight. At home, be sure to bring in your packages as soon as they're delivered. If you won't be home, designate a location where they should be placed out of sight, or maybe ask a neighbor to bring them in for you. If something is stolen or you see suspicious behavior, don't hesitate to reach out to law enforcement. The Southwood County Historical Museum's 7th Annual Christmas Tree Walk takes place again this weekend, December 8th from 5 to 8, and December 9th and 10th from noon to 4. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 28. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. High of 46 tomorrow. Lows around 33 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 6, 2023. I have your host, James Jay, here. I am joined by Sheriff Sean Becker for the entire hour. Sean, good to see you.
Great to see you, James.
Thanks for being here. We certainly want to say a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Big, big thank you to them. We have Joe here today. And Joe, happy belated birthday to you. I wanted to say that. And if you guys don't mind for a second, I would like to talk directly to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Lost my papa, my grandfather, recently, and he was living in Florida. And the last year or two, or I'd say the last couple of years, really, one of our favorite things to do together was to sit back and talk about the videos that he would watch. And this Midday magazine, or at the time, you know, Morning magazine, that he would watch that. And it was a way for him to keep up on the community and also to catch out his guy that for some reason was a big fan of me and everything. But it was a chance for the last couple of years, what would be the last couple of years of his life, for us to have these moments and bond. We wouldn't have it if you guys didn't put those amazing videos on there and people like my papa could check it out in Florida, man. And I cannot thank you guys enough for that. It means so much to me. So thank you. Appreciate you. Sean, I know that you come in and you've got a whole gamut of things to talk about, and you have a great guest here today. Yeah. So I want to get out of the way, let you introduce this person. Let's get into it.
Well, first of all, sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
That's not easy, but it's an awesome way that you get the opportunity to connect with you know, today's technology. My dad was on the show. He doesn't have a computer yet, and I don't think he ever will. So he can't. You know, when he comes up next time, we'll make sure that he watches the show. But again, very, very sorry for your loss.
Appreciate that.
I brought a local celebrity with me.
Yeah.
I sprung it on him like, what, about an hour or so ago? I'm like, hey, what are you doing this morning? You know, like my predecessor would do to us. I'm like, well, why don't I do it to somebody out in the community, a good friend of mine, Gary Platt. Gary and I go back, you know, way several years. I met him over at the Ridges at Swing Against Cancer. He's a cancer survivor, and he's also my favorite bartender at my favorite watering hole at the Tip-Up. You know, so we've met and become close throughout the years, and I wanted to bring him on the show today. We've got a very special game coming up for Gary. It's not about the Packers. It's about Gary. He's going to be attending his 500th game as a season ticket holder.
Wow.
At the Packer game coming up on the 17th of this month.
Man, congratulations, sir.
Yeah.
Wow, that is awesome. That is impressive.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
So a lot of us are going to go with and celebrate with him, but just a great friend of mine, and I wanted to give him the opportunity to come in, you know, just talk and hang out with me for an hour.
Gary, I couldn't imagine the stories that you have being in that position for this.
There's something we couldn't put on the air.
Yeah. I imagine. Off air.
Can I say one thing first?
Please.
We're so lucky to have this man as our sheriff. Okay? I know him personally, and it's got nothing to do with it, but he's the kind of people you need in law enforcement. You know how good he is? Nobody ran against him last time. And that says something.
Yes.
I've lived there 50 years or whatever, and it all says, so that shows how respected he is. And he's a regular guy, you know what I mean? But when I see him, he's Sean. He's not the sheriff. He's got to have some free time and fun time, too. But we're really lucky in this community to have him.
Agreed. Well said, sir. Well said.
How much do I owe you?
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Gary, but, you know, you're a great person, and what you've done for our community is something I respect, you know, from you. And you're the type of individual that makes people feel comfortable to be around.
I don't know if this was the intention or not, Sean, but as a third person kind of watching this and everything and seeing you guys interact pregame and in the show here and everything, it speaks to how great when we can have it, the relationship between our law enforcement and our bars. We like to drink in Wisconsin. It's something we do. We've all seen the recent numbers of drunk driving and some of these things and everything. I can only imagine that you know, regardless, it's certainly your favorite watering hole, and there's that, but there's also that layer to it of, hey, there's never a bad thing of our law enforcement and our bars being more hand in hand, being more on the same page. They usually are. They pretty much are.
Yeah.
But it's just more and more it compounds that.
Yeah, no, we have a close working relationship with our Tavern League. You know, when issues do come up, it's best to communicate about them. And you trust each other and you work together. You know, people make their own decisions, and sometimes they make the wrong decisions. You know, that's not on, you know, I don't look at it as the Tavern. You know, it's on the individual when they decide to do something that is illegal. But it doesn't mean that we still can't work together with, you know, our local taverns and the Tavern League. It really, you know, that kind of relationship's really important to me, that, you know, we're working together.
Gary, I've said for a very long time that I think that a good bartender deserves like credits in psychology, because you guys got to be part-time psychologists along with knowing what drinks to make. As long as you've been doing this, sir, you'd have a PhD. You've been doing this a while. It's really cool, and appreciate what you put into our community.
Well, you know, my work history is I I graduated from college in Iowa, Wartburg, and stayed there a while. But then I moved here in 76, and I started working at McDonald's. So I worked there for 25 years. When I first started there, we didn't have a drive-through, no breakfast, that kind of stuff. And then me and another guy bought a bar downtown, and then I ended up working at Pizza Hut for the last 10 years. So, but all along there, I was worked in bars. My grandpa owned a bar in Fond du Lac years ago and stuff like that. So I've been in that. But you're right, you know, bartenders, you know, if my goal when I tend a bar is you come in there, have a better day than when you started out. And that's what, you know, I talk to people. I don't use my phone or anything. And the other thing is that sometimes people don't want to listen to you. I'll leave them alone. But I'll tell you, if they want to listen to me, I got a line of stuff like you wouldn't believe.
Right on. Appreciate that, Gary. Thank you for that.
Yeah, but just think of the history of 500, Packer football games.
Man.
You know, I've been going, you know, since the mid-'80s when my parents relocated to Stevens Point, Plover area. My parents were big, you know, Bears fans.
Mm.
And we always had a tradition to go to the Packer-Bear game in the 80s. And, you know, I'm young and I'm like, you know, I like the winter. And, and once you, the first time you go to Lambeau Field, and I've been to Soldier Field, the old one, and, you know, going into Lambeau, I was hooked.
Yeah.
This the atmosphere. Even in the mid-'80s, the team wasn't terrible. They had a couple of decent years, but it was just that memory of, you know, the quarterbacks then were, you know, Lynn Dickey was the big one that I remember, and fortunately got to meet him at the Swing Against Cancer. He came a couple times to come and golf with us, and he was awesome, you know. But, you know, I remember those memories, not only just because I'm with family, but just the games that we attended, and, you know, I got to see Walter Payton's, you know, last game at Lambeau.
Whoa.
And what was so respectful is, okay, you got a huge rivalry. You know, it's a huge rivalry between the Bears and Packers, but they recognized Walter Payton. I think it was at halftime or before the game that they brought him on the field. And even the Packer fans realized, you know, you might have somebody that is your biggest rival ever, but you have an individual that gave so much to the game that the Green Bay Packer organization recognized him. But those are just memories that boom, jump out right to me. Gary's, yeah, maybe somebody can't. On air, but just going through how spoiled we've been with quarterbacks, you know, and you compare other franchises, but, you know, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, we'll see what happens with Jordan Love. Things are going the right direction, but you go before that, you know, you could probably name how many quarterbacks were, you know, you have Bart Starr, obviously, in there and then becoming a coach, but then...
There's a gap between Bart Starr and the next great quarterback. There is, I think it's going to go down because I've seen my every one of my favorite teams win something. The White Sox, all these teams. I've seen the Blackhawks. I've seen them all win. I think my favorite sports moment, the older I get, is the weekend Walter Payton passed away. The Bears and Packers were playing in Lambeau. And throughout the whole stadium, you saw these signs, thank you, sweetness, and in guys in Packer jerseys and uniforms and stuff. And it just speaks to, we have the greatest rivalry in sports, and that's part of the reason why. It's not only just because the NFL was built on it, and it was. The NFL is not where it is today without the Bears and Packers. But it's also the way that the people are in these communities and the way that we root for our teams and look for, you know, and all that. And it's not surprising to hear that's one of your favorite memories. I think that's pretty cool. I am curious, Gary, do you have a game that stands out for you? Do you have a game that, like, I don't want to put you on the spot and say your favorite game, but one that really stands out to you?
Well, you know, I've been asked that question before, and there's a lot of them, but when Reggie White came there, okay, and we hadn't been to the playoffs in a long, long time, and we were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think it was Christmas Eve. Anyway, so we're ahead, but they're in like the 5-yard line. They throw a lob pass to Yancey. I don't think of his name.
Thigpen?
Yancey Thigpen.
Yeah, great
name. Great reference.
So I put my head down because I can't watch it. You know, we're crushed.
Yeah.
And there's all this cheering. What's going on? He dropped the ball.
All right. That's right.
And then we go, well, Reggie's got God on our side. You
know? that began from
and
there,
the next
really.
Next year, the Steelers came there for an exhibition game, and Yancey got a standing ovation.
That's a great memory. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So that's probably it. You know, there's been some other, you know, I went to the Ice Bowl when I was in college with my dad and that, and, you know, 200,000 people went to that game, but a lot of them got a program like I do.
Right on.
So my mom saved that, and that was fun. You know, it's just like, every game is fun for me.
You know, and when it comes to a venue like that, Lambeau, I mean, yeah, every game. It doesn't matter preseason, doesn't matter who you're playing or anything like that. The building itself is an event.
Yeah, you know, when you pull up there and you see, start with the practice field and then you got the thing, you know, the Lambeau thing. And I used to have really big tailgates. I mean, I'd have 60 sandwiches and a full bar and a lot of beer and stuff like that. And people would walk by, you know, and what do you need? You know, and, well, I never been to how does this work? And I said, well, you want a drink? You want a sandwich? Well, what do you want? I said, I get a donation. All I use that for is for supplies for the next game. And this is their first experience at Lambeau. And so they came from all over. Yeah. It was a destination for them.
Yeah.
And then this last couple of years, when I don't have big tailgates, some of these people come up to me and go, Gary, you remember me? No. Well, our first experience at Lambeau was you and my friend Kathy, you know, and we just, you treat us so warm and welcome and stuff like this, you know, and I said, well, that's nice, and that's what I was wanting to do with it. Lambeau's, you know, I forget how special it is, because I go to all the games.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I take somebody who's never been before, people like that, and I got to mention one thing about things, this has been a tough year for me because I got a little physical stuff going on, and my leg's pretty sore sometimes. I get a lot of help in and out of the stands, and people are good to me. But for 15 years, my best friend, Kathy Sackett, went to all the games with me. Mm. And she's a best friend. She had a husband, so we golfed together. We walked around the lake all the time. She went to all the games. And in April, she got cancer, and she died in June. So it's really hard on me, that part of it. And then people come up to the tailgate and they go, where's Kathy? You know, and stuff like this. But, and I just wish that she's around for the 500 game.
Yeah. I am so sorry for that, Gary.
It's okay.
And I appreciate you sharing that with
us.
You
know, I had cancer for going on 18 years now, one time or another. And she went to all my appointments and stuff like this. And she said, jeepers, Gary, never thought I'd be the one dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, a really special person, special lady. I was fortunate I got the opportunity to meet her and hang around with her, too.
You know, and
she said to me when she got, after her chemo and it didn't work and stuff like that, so I went over to her house every day, and she says, you know what, Gary, I'm so sorry. And I go, what are you sorry about? It's going to be so hard on you when I die. Who thinks so?
That's the kind of person she was. Yeah.
That's the kind of huge heart.
Gary, I first, you know, feel for you, appreciate you, pray for her family. I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yeah, because that's a big deal to me.
Yeah, but I didn't know her. So now I know her.
Yep.
Now I get to know her thanks to you sharing her, and her legacy continues. Her memory continues,
you know,
and it's one more person. Thank you for doing that.
She never, she wanted everybody to be happy.
Yeah.
She never had a bad bone in her body.
Mm. Thanks for helping us remember her.
Thank
you for that.
Thanks for letting me share that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sean, I know that we cover quite a few things with you, and I know that you've got some notes you want to get to. Do you want to start?
Again, just you know, thank you, Gary, for coming.
I really appreciate
sure
you,
we'll,
Gary.
We'll bring up some more memories as we talk.
Yeah, you're not done working, sir. No, yeah, well, we're going to make it work some more still.
No, and again, sorry I sprung it on you. I hope you won't hold it against me for any reason. But
get the sheriff mad at you. That'd be
smart. I don't get mad very often. Ask the team. Julie might tell you different, but you know, I hide it well. But anyway, no, things are going good at the department. You know, I've been given a lot of jail tours, and we're under a year now.
Yeah,
and it's just I did one yesterday, and just to think about again how proud I am to be part of that team. And just to see it come together, and got to, you know, like always shout out to our county board to get us where we're at, and the community, the Wisconsin Rapids City Council. You know, it's just when you walk through it, you can't help but not think about all the people that came together as a team to make it happen, and putting, you know, Wood County in a position where they'll never have to, you know, house inmates out of county. You know, the safety of the staff, the safety of the inmates, and, you know, all the things that we've talked about. For me, it's quite humbling to walk through and see things come together. And so we're under a year now. So the project will be done hopefully sometime next October. And then we'll occupy the goal, as I've been saying, every month. Hopefully a year from January we'll be in there. But no, the project's going well. Got a huge shout out to Ruben Van Tassel. I pulled a fast one on him a couple weeks ago. Channel 9 wanted to do an update in the story. They saw one of the articles come out recently and just wanted to come in and take a look at it and get some comments. And I'm like, hey, Ruben, would you like to talk to the media? He did everything he could to try to bow out of it. He even called Lance Plimmel and said, you know, should I be doing this? Lance says, do it. But he did a great job. And but he's been our representative of the project for Wood County, you know, working with all of the contractors, you know, the Samuels Group out of Wausau that is our project manager. They've been doing a phenomenal job. But you know, Ruben, you've been just doing just a fantastic job, and the county's lucky to have you. So, you know, that project's going well, and we talk about it. But you know, let's get it on the calendar sometime for you guys to come and
absolutely take a tour. Okay. Got to. We got to do it before it opens. I did also notice in what I had seen in notes about it, everything schedule wise, construction wise, has been on time, and that's been incredible to see. Too.
Yeah, been very, very minimal hiccups, you know, with materials. You know, maybe one or two things came up. But again, when you have the right people in the right positions that stay on top of that, you work through those challenges. Mm-hmm. And we've been very lucky. Again, I'm very proud to be part of a team with a project that has been so needed for forever. Mm-hmm. You know, since I've been here, and then we're going back just to this is what 1997 it was being talked about, and here we are. So I'm very very proud of not me, about the team being part of getting where we're at.
Looking forward to that tour. Looking forward to talking more and more about this as it develops and the process continues with the construction and everything, and getting this thing open soon in the next within the next year calendar year. That's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
Where else you want to talk? Where else you want to go?
The polar plunge is coming again.
Yeah, yeah. I was hoping that come up. I was hoping that would come up. Do you train for that at all? Do you prep yourself for that at all? Even mentally, do you?
There's nothing to train for.
Yeah,
It's cold.
Yeah.
It's right, like, right. What I train for is to swim fast and get out of the water as quick as possible. You know, that's
a good routine.
Yeah. But February 3rd, out in Anchor Bay, out in the Wisconsin River, that'll be coming up again. It's a great venue that, you know, moved from to back to Anchor Bay. The folks, the owners there do a phenomenal job of putting on the event. And then all, again, you know, I always talk a lot about teamwork, but you've got the people at Special Olympics that have obviously a big part. The athletes are there. And then the community support is huge. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got not only the law enforcement connection, but, you know, so many people in the community. You know, Lincoln High School has a huge team of people that a lot of students that come out and do it. So, students, I'm like, okay. Yeah. But anyway, they're coming out for a great cause and raising a lot of money. And, you know, the Sheriff's Department has had a team for probably 20 plus years that we've been doing it. And I've been proud to see it change over the years. I think some people just get a little smarter and they wait for other people to step up and do it.
Right, right.
You know, last year we had a great group of our corrections officers that did it. So we're going to be in the process of putting together another team. So February 3rd, that Saturday, we'll be out plunging again. So hopefully, you know, the way the weather goes, you just never know.
Yeah.
You know, there's ice now, but it's supposed to get up in the 40s the next couple of days. So, but I think we'll probably be fine, you know, early February, so the event will happen.
Looking forward to it. It should be a great event, and I want to encourage people to go to polarplungewi.org, polarplungewi.org. Had to make sure I got that web address right. You can find out locations, how you can be a part of the event, how you can support the event. Mm-hmm. It's one of the best events we have in this state every year. Working with Special Olympics over in California, some of the best people I've ever worked with. There's amazing people behind the scenes there working really hard on that, not only for their clientele, but really for all of us, and bringing awareness to all these subjects.
Yeah, you bet.
That's going to be a fun one, and looking forward to the video that goes along with all of this as well, too. That's also going to be fun.
Yeah, no, it's, like I said, a great venue where it's located at, and yeah, looking forward to being part of it again.
Sean, are there different things this month that stand out more than others when it comes to the things that are on your plate in law enforcement?
You know, what comes to mind for me is the team. And, you know, making sure that they have the opportunity to spend it, you know, with the family. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I always, you know, I always think of, you know, what are ways that we can make sure that, that our team can have the opportunity, especially on, you know, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. The deputies get the opportunity to go home and spend time with their family. But our corrections staff do not, our dispatch staff does not. So, you know, I really think about them a lot during that time frame, you know, and then, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, OWIs, you know, and, you know, this month of people do celebrate a lot. And it's always a good reminder to, you know, think about it, you know, and make sure you have arrangements made. If you do go to a Christmas party or if you're just, you know, out enjoying yourself, think about that next step about getting home. And that's always important. Pub Pilots is out there, or pre-plan, you know, and even work with your bartenders. If it gets to a point where, you know, hey, I'm not feeling, you know, like I should drive, you know, communicate that and help, you know, have somebody help you out. Unfortunately, throughout my career, I've been through too many tragedies, and it's dealing with not only the situation, but then the aftermath of, you know, letting a family know that they've lost a loved one. It's hard. It's hard on us. Gary and I had an opportunity to talk on the way over about not only a physical well-being as a law enforcement officer, but our wellness and our mental health, which we have talked quite a bit about on the show. Mm-hmm. He recognizes that by, you know what you see.
Yeah.
You know, and how does that absorb within that person as a first responder or law enforcement officer? And it's always very important to, you know, take care of our wellness as well. And we're lucky. We put ourselves in pretty good position with our chaplain program, you know, our peer support program. You know, we've got a lot of things in place with our officer wellness where, you know, if somebody is, you know, struggling through a situation, whatever that might be, you know, we've got options there to help. The challenge is, though, that individual has to seek it out, you know, and that's tough sometimes is the macho you know, male or female image of a law enforcement officer say, oh, hey, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing, you know, that I've seen over the, you know, last several years, it's okay to ask for help. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's better that you do.
Yeah.
You know, because if you let it go down a path that you don't take care of it and you know, you end your career sooner than you should have, you know, that's partially on that individual as well.
Yeah.
But I feel as an administrator that you've got to have every opportunity, everything in place for that person to help them through a situation if they want it, but they have to ask.
And, yeah.
And making an environment, or at least creating an environment like it's okay.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to say a lot of the things that I mentioned. You know, I've utilized. I wouldn't be in the position that I am right now if I didn't.
We got four men in this room, and all of us from different groups, different ages and generations and where we grew up and everything, and yet there's a common theme there. Mm-hmm. You tough it up, put some dirt on that, you'll be fine.
I grew up where my dad says men don't cry.
Right. Yeah. I'm really thankful in my family. My dad was a former boxer, a hockey player, couldn't be tougher. One of the definitions of toughness to me was very important to him that I understood that, hey, it's okay to cry. Don't cry over everything. Don't be a crybaby, but, you know, it's okay to cry, that it was okay to be you know, have emotions. It was also really lucky because we're Italian and our emotions are all over the place and we can't hold them back. So it was also very fortunate for that. But as we go on in society with this, we have to normalize this. It's on us as men to do this for other men. It's one of those things where we have to do it for each other. It'd be there that walk that line again. We're come back to that balance of things of, there's a job to do. Yeah, we have to handle ourselves a certain way in life and society, blah, blah, blah. That's true, sure. But it also doesn't mean that for these younger generations growing up, that they can grow up in a society where, hey, it's all right if you break your leg to cry. It's okay to, you know, certain things. There are moments you lose a loved one. It's okay to be emotional. Yeah. It's okay to just have a bad day just because you're just having a bad day. It doesn't have to be for any rhyme or reason or anything. Yeah. And the strongest people in life, the strongest people we look at, especially in human history, most of them were like this. Yeah. And, I think a lot of us will look at John Wayne. Now, John Wayne, one of the definitions of machismo and a manhood and everything. John Wayne had no problem telling people how he felt. John Wayne never held anything back. Like, whether for good or worse, John Wayne didn't hold back. He was who he was. I think that a lot of us can embrace that and just being yourself and sharing those things. And as always, to piggyback on something Gary was talking about earlier, sir, we got the right person in the job here that gets that sees not only society's going in this direction, but law enforcement is going in this direction. And in order to bring in, you know, it's getting harder and harder to get people to put that badge on. If we want people to do it and represent our communities and everything, it's important to give them that kind of, that knowing that they're going into a job. Like, you're going to want to do a job more if you have those things going for it. Departments that don't have that, not going to have as many people wanting to be a part of that department.
Wouldn't you agree right now that the hardest job in America is being a police officer?
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just to, you know, go back on the career and you know, I wouldn't disagree with Gary, but I think things are trending better, you know, and the transition to one of our part-time deputies we're sponsoring at the Law Enforcement Academy at Mid-State Technical College is graduating next week, and he got hired full-time at the Green Lake County Sheriff's Department. Mm-hmm. And Sheriff Mark Padal gave me a call last week and says, hey, I'm going to come up and surprise Carson Juniman, who goes back a little bit personally with me because he played football at Lincoln High School. And he had a, I don't know if you want to call it a dream or interest in law enforcement. And I really applaud his efforts to pick my brain. You know, I'm like, hey, I'm thinking about this career. I'm like, really? You know, and Gary's right. It's like not everybody wants to do that. And to see him, you know, not only follow through, but get to his dream and get hired full time, you know, at the Green Lake County Sheriff's Department. And on Monday, Sheriff Padal came up and surprised him in front of his classmates, in front of the whole academy and swore him in.
That's cool.
And Sheriff Padal asked me to be part of it, and which is extremely humbling to me because of the background and connection I have with Carson, and not just from football, but from, like I said, following through. We hired him part-time, and he had been doing really well. And now to see the career come together, hey, he's going to have a full-time job right when he's done with Academy. So, and then I got to have the opportunity to talk to the whole Academy, along with Sheriff Padal and Kurt Hoyer, another mentor of mine. And the class was full. We haven't seen that for quite some time.
I was going to ask. Okay.
The class was completely full with almost 30 students, and a good handful of them already had full-time jobs. So that tells me that, you know, we're trending back the way we should be going. You know, I'm not going to go into what my personal feelings or thoughts are, that why we kind of went back into where people didn't want to get into this profession, because it's an awesome profession. Mm-hmm. You know, it is something that I have absolutely zero regrets, not just because of the position I have, but the career that I've had has just been something that I could talk about for hours, but it wouldn't be about me. It'd be around the people that I've worked with throughout that time frame. But no, Gary's right. You know, it's not a easy profession to be in, but I think we're trending in the right way. And it was quite a humbling moment to see Carson get sworn in, you know, up here.
Yeah, and a great moment to be a part of, I imagine. Yeah. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with more with Sheriff Sean Becker and our Wood County Sheriff's Department, along with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and Gary here at Midday Magazine on WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, December 7th. The Southwood County Airport Commission will meet at 8 a.m. at the Airport Terminal Building at Alexander Field. The Wood County Highway Infrastructure and Recreation Committee will meet at 9 a.m. in their conference room. The Judicial and Legislative Committee will meet at 9:30 at the courthouse in room 105. The Wisconsin Rapids Public Works Committee public meeting will be held at 5 in the council chambers. The Human Resources Committee will meet in the first floor conference room at 4:15. The Village of Port Edwards will hold their public meeting for the Ad Hoc Fire Department Bylaws and Standard Operating Guidelines at 5. In Portage County, the Comprehensive Plan Steering Committee will meet at 2, the Human Resources Committee at 4, and the Commission on Aging, Aging and Disability Resource Center Board also at 4. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 28. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. High of 46 tomorrow. Lows around 33 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Midday Magazine for this December 6, 2023. Have your host James here. We're joined with Sheriff Sean Becker. And Sean, I know that you have a lot to talk about today, but I did have something important that I did want to ask you about. It's been happening to our society for quite some time now, and I think it's an important subject, but I don't hear people talking about it. I don't hear it being addressed, and it's something that here at WFHR we are not going to shy away from. And it's these animals breaking into buildings, man. I've got two reports this morning when I'm looking at the news. Police wrangle loose llama near British Columbia Roads. And then there was another one here. Deer breaks into an elementary school, leads police on a chase. We've got these animals breaking into buildings, Sean. It's been going on quite a bit. I don't know what... I'm curious, in all seriousness. It's just kind of funny. And we don't get a lot of light moments around here, so I was going to try to bring one up. But I am a little curious. Have you ever been in the situation like this where you get the call and you're kind of like, wait a minute, like, is somebody putting me on? A deer in a building? What, anything that like would, this happen to you?
Not to me personally that I remember. You know, but a deer would be one that's a strong possibility just because of the deer population around here. But you know, periodically you'll get, you know, wild animals getting inside people's houses, and they call us, and it can be challenging sometimes because then we're scratching our head and like, okay, what are we supposed to do? I'm like, well, maybe just open up a couple doors and try to shoo them out.
Hope for the best. Cross your fingers kind of thing.
Yeah. I know, like, I think a few years ago, a llama got loose in Grand Rapids area. So some of those exotic, you know, animals are out there, and you have to be aware of them. But, you know, nothing jumps out at me like... that I dealt with, what movie was it where,
the deer.
Tommy Boy?
Tommy Boy, the deer in the back, yeah. Also, The Great Outdoors, I think there was a scene of The Great Outdoors, too, with the deer in the house or something like that.
I think that was a bear.
It was a bear, you're right, it was a bear, yeah. And I bring this up a little bit tongue-in-cheek to have some fun with it and everything.
I
did want to touch on one part of this, too, and it's something that speaks to a little bit of the previous conversation of the things that are what we think are our police departments and our sheriff departments, the things that we think you guys handle that are on your plate. And then there's stuff that we don't even think about that you guys cover. And just speaking to hopefully the empathy that we create with this show, with more of our community and our law enforcement and understanding that, like, because that's something I don't think many people think when they think of a police officer or a sheriff, any of these positions. We don't think about, hey, a llama broke into a building. Can you help us out here?
It's not the first call because we're... We're 24/7. What do you do? We're always working. So you have a situation like that. You look at Florida, countless times with an alligator in somebody's pool. I'm sure that they have to go through certain training.
Not imagine.
During a snake.
During football season, if it was a bear, you could just shoot it.
Not true. I agree with that.
When it comes to like that kind of thing, of all the training, of all the things that you do in academy and building up to the job, do these kind of, not so much animals breaking into buildings, but this kind of gray area of things that you are going to have to maybe cover on the job, does that stuff come up?
It does. I mean, you have to look at it like, what Gary just said is kind of a joke, but you have to look at the public safety aspect of a situation. And, if somebody or if there's a wild animal that's creating a safety issue for somebody, for a person, unfortunately, we get put in those positions where we might have to, act. And sometimes that's not a very popular, decision that we have to make, but you have to bear in mind, no pun intended, but that we have to, look at what, the situation is and what is somebody at risk of being hurt or worse. And then we have to, people count on us to act upon it. And again, sometimes that's not a very popular decision we make, but people have to understand that it happens so fast and people do second guess us, especially when we use force. You have to turn around and put yourself in that situation and look at what we're trained to do, and the public safety is number one.
Years back, about 10 years ago, did To Kill a Mockingbird. I was in the play To Kill a Mockingbird and played Sheriff Heck Tate. And we've got, a couple of young kids in the play and stuff. And one of the scenes in that play, in the movie and in the play, is the sheriff being asked to take down a rabid dog that's in the neighborhood, and how crazy and scared the neighborhood is because of this rabid dog running around. And while me and the guy playing Atticus were able to kind of pull the scene off, we kept struggling because the kids, they would come in, "Oh no, a dog." No, you got to be panicked right now. There's a rat, and they just couldn't get it. They're like, "Well, but nowadays, if that happens, we just call a police officer. We just call, our animal control or something like that."
Officer,
that kind of thing. We forget how it wasn't that long ago where there was even more put on our police department than we realize in some ways, and it still is in that way. In that case, it's a nice reminder of that to the rest of us in the community, to us citizens, that the things that are on your plate.
Yeah. No. Like I said, we. We work 24/7, and Jordan's a dispatcher, and she'll tell you some of the calls that they get even up in the Northwoods.
I believe it.
Yeah.
What else you got there, Sean?
All right. What's your favorite quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
Bart Starr.
Okay.
Yeah. Without a doubt, not only quarterback, but a gentleman. He, when they first made him coach, he probably wasn't ready to be the coach. But then at the end, he was doing pretty good, and they fired him. So years later, they're going to remodel the stadium, and they want him to do commercials, and he does commercials for him. I got a kind of a cute story about him. So when he was coach, it's a Sunday game and we're not doing real well, so they come around and they got these stickers that say "Bye Bye Bart." Well, me and my dad said, "Get away." He said, "Oh, I got another one, Stick with Star." So we bought those. So they used to have Mondays off, and so I went up there on a Tuesday to watch practices. I'm mad at the whole world and that kind of stuff. But I get there late for practice, so him and Zeke Brukowski were jogging around back up there, and he looks at my truck, and he goes, "That your truck?" And I go, "Duh, yeah, it's my truck." He goes, "The mother stickers I heard were really flying out yesterday, huh?" And he says, "You got a pen or something to sign?" And I said, "No, I really don't," or nothing. He says, "You got a business card?" And I go, "Yeah, I got one from McDonald's." He sent me an autographed picture to Gary. I got that next to my other thing. To take time to do that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I got to tell you, but how the Packers are a small organization, and everybody forgets that. But I got a really personal story about that. So from probably 77 on, we tailgated all the time, my mom and dad, a whole bunch of us. And the parking lot was first come, first serve. You paid your $10 or whatever. And so we did that a long time. And two of the men that ran it, Mark and Whitey, they were our buddies. So comes 10 o'clock, they come up and party with us because their job is done. So my mom and dad retired to Arizona, and then they stayed with me for July, August, September, because, you know, and go to the games. But my dad got a Journal Sentinel every day. So he gets a Journal Sentinel. He says, "Hey, Gary, guess what? The parking lot's now reserved." When they redid it, they did this. And I said, "Really, Dad?" And he goes, "Yeah." So I said, "Okay, what are you going to do?" So I called my friends. And they said, "We can get your spot, Gary, but you got to get this parking permit." So I called down there to the place, and there's a waiting list for the parking thing.
Go figure.
You know, So I, my dad's, so I wrote a letter. I wrote it to Green Bay Packers, attention Bob Harlan. He was the president at that time. So my dad said, "Yeah, right." So 2 days later, the phone rings, and it's my mom. My mom answers, says, "Gary, it's somebody from the Packers on there." So I get on the phone, and I go, "Hi." They said, "I just got a fax from Bob." And I said, "Bob who?" They go, "There's only one Bob here." So the guy says, "How do I know all this stuff in your letter is true?" And I said, "Well, to start with, I get my Packer. Meyer's got a Packer." I said, "Did you get the part about the pickle barrel with the salt and the sand and stuff?" And, "Yeah, what's that pylon?" I said, "Well, the parking lot used to be gravel. Me and my dad backed over a couple of them so we had more room." "Oh, I didn't know it was gravel." Anyway, he says, "What can I do for you?" And I says, "I just want a parking permit for the Green and the Gold games because I go to all of them." "Well, you know, there's a waiting list." And I said, "Well, okay." He says, "But just in case, check your mail." 2 days later, I got it. So wow. Bob Harlan took the time to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's pretty cool, you know, that, and he's done a couple other little favors for me. So I got a, I was in a bar, and they had a 10-liner with the Bob Harlan thing, you know. It was a nice hand-drawn thing. So I said, "I want that, you know." "Well, so whoever wins it," so they gave it to me. So I called down there, got a hold of him. He said, "Yeah, send it, Gary. Any autograph for me?"
Wow.
You know, so
wow.
But, you know, I just, we're so, we forget, you know, that we're so lucky to have stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't think Jerry Jones probably would have got me my parking.
No, no. It's the smallest professional sports, smallest team in all of professional sports, all the four major sports, soccer, all of that. And yet, you look at what the fan base. You have these games in Germany and stuff, and it's not even a Packer. The Packers aren't even playing, and you see people in Packer jerseys and stuff. Like, I don't know if many teams that have a fan base that travel like the Packer fan base, or is located around the world like the Packer fan base is. All of that being said, and still such a run like a mom and pop business in many ways, reaching out to the community and people, and understanding that your core base is where you're at, what made the Packers very smart run franchise for many, many years. You don't have the Green Bay Packers without the fan base. The fan base made that team. So they have always given credit to that, and I give a lot of respect to that.
Do you have any stock?
Yep.
Nice. Very smart.
I didn't buy it. My daughter bought it for me.
Well, hey, you still have stock.
Still got it.
Yeah.
Still got it.
Oh, that's cool. That's something I wish I'd have done. You know, favorite quarterback for me, I've got to say Brett Favre, just because of the era that I was, and he started so many games. I remember being at the game when his 200th start, the night game, and then he got hurt in that game, remember? The Redskins, they were playing the Redskins, and then I forget the linebacker that tackled him and kind of tweaked his knee, and he went off the field and on a cart, but then he played the next week, kept that streak alive. It's one of the most impressive things to me on a football player to see go that far along in their career without missing a game.
Yeah.
In those days, they got hit a lot more than they do now, too, you know? There wasn't all the roughing the passer and that stuff.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. If you look at the quarterback now, I think it's a penalty.
You're so right about that. Was it Lynn Dickey that was quarterbacking for the Packers for a while
mid-80s,
there and everything?
Yep.
That was definitely my favorite because I'm a Bear fan. And I'm not going to root for good Packer quarterbacks. I'm going to root for the bad ones. He was okay. It was just the first name I could think of popping out of my head. I actually always, I loved watching Brett Favre play. I don't know how you couldn't. If you love football, it didn't matter. Bear, Lion fan, didn't matter. You know, two games of the year, sure, you didn't like the guy maybe. But every other game, could not wait to watch Brett Favre.
Fun.
He was just having fun, and it was a joy to watch a guy like that play the game like a kid. You know, I don't know how much we're going to see that anymore with athletes and stuff, and as serious as they take the sport. I was always curious to see what would have happened if Mikowski didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
Just because I thought that he had a good arm, a good head on him.
You know what Mikowski said? They asked him, when did he know Brett Favre was going to be the starting quarterback the first time I saw him throw a ball.
Yeah, I believe it. And certainly, you know, it was fun to watch Aaron Rodgers play the game at the same level, but differently. The mechanics and all of that.
Different leader, different male player, but
yeah. I think with Jordan Love, it's way too early to tell if he's going to be a Hall of Famer or any of that stuff. But I do think you can already start to see some of the things about him that, like, well, at the very least, you've got a guy that you can count on for the next 10 years at that position. Even if he isn't as great as these other guys, you don't have to worry about your starting quarterback. Like, that part alone, like, let me tell you about how much I wish I had something like that my lifetime growing. Now I might have it, but they're not even sure. So who knows? I think that alone gives you a lot as a fan, but also if you're that team to build around,
Sunday, the way we came out is as good as our offense has looked in a long time.
I mean,
we ran the ball, we threw passes, and it was clicking
against a good defense too. You can't ask for much more than that.
Did you get an opportunity to talk to Taylor Swift? No.
One of my friends got to know Campbell, the linebacker, so he sits with his wife and him in the box. So he sent a picture to there's Taylor. I said, I went to the game, not to a concert.
I understand the hype and the celebrity that she has and everything, and all respect to that. I would have been more freaked out about Simone Biles. I would have loved to meet Simone Biles, man. That would have been cool. Yeah. Like, that's one of the greatest athletes in the world right now.
You know, and it's nice that the Packers organization kind of highlight that. Like, yes. Okay, so Taylor Swift was here, but we have Simone.
We got an Olympic hero right there. We got
Taylor Swift's first loss, you know.
That's right. In a couple of months, we're definitely going to be talking about Simone Biles quite a bit. USA.
Exactly.
Sean, did you have anything else on your list you wanted to get to? We got six minutes left.
Yeah, one other thing. The county's been, our human resources department, Kim McGrath and her team have been doing a really nice thing the last couple of years. Two things they put together. One is leadership training for all the department heads within Wood County. Mm-hmm. And we just had our second one last week at Mid-State Technical College. Nice to see that we partnered with them in their workforce development, and they put together some really decent training for all the department heads to be at and work together, you know, which I think is really important to have, you know, the team of the entire Wood County get an opportunity to, you know, go through some leadership training and then have, you know, time just to spend together, you know, all your leaders within the county. So, you know, thank you, Kim, and the county board for approving this, because what I've found out, a best way to, you know, boost morale within any department is, you know, offer some training that is interesting to that person. Mm-hmm. And leadership training is something that I've always felt that was important to invest in. And you bring that back. And you bring it back to your department. So, you know, we did that recently. The other thing the county's been doing, they approved merit raises or merit bonus is what I think it is. And it's all based off the core values of what the county established. And recently, you know, we've got some of our people at the Sheriff's Department recognized. Nate Dean, one of our lieutenants, he works night shift, but he took it upon himself to make sure that the Sheriff's Department had a presence at the fair up in Marshfield, and did a phenomenal job, and he was recognized for his efforts there. And then Scott Goldberg oversees our investigators. We had a domestic situation just outside of Rudolph that, in fact, I responded to, because it turned off into a kind of a standoff, you know, with the, you know, the suspect that we wound up eventually arresting. But the tough part for us to work through was there was children there, you know, and these kids were waiting to get on the school bus, and this situation happened. And the follow-through he did with that is the next day he went to the school where these kids were, pulled them out of class, and just kind of hung out with them.
You know, that's awesome.
And he was recognized for that. And when you get get recognized like this through the county, it's not by, like, me, you know, writing it up and saying you should do this. It's by your peers. And it's just a great thing that both Nate and Scott were recognized for. you know, other people have been recognized throughout the year. But another program that, you know, we're going to expand at the Sheriff's Department. You know, if somebody gets recognized, but they don't get, you know, voted for that particular core value merit award, we'll do it within our own budget to make sure that, you know, we take care of the person on our team that was, you know, recognized at least.
That's very cool. Yeah. And thank you for sharing that, Sean. Yeah. I appreciate it. We've only got about 2 or 3 minutes left.
It's all about Gary right now.
Before we jump into that, I did want to tease something. I want to preview something the next time we get together. Because I want you and the audience to be able to do a little homework on this, because it only came out like at the end of last month. But there is a pilot program that would help Wisconsin police connect people in crisis to virtual mental health experts. This pilot program is fascinating to me. It seems really interesting. And it seems like something that could be a real asset for you and your team and throughout the state. So I want people to be able to look into that, learn a little bit more about it and how it's going to benefit our not only our communities, but our law enforcement agencies. Mm-hmm. That's something we'll get into maybe the next time we hang out, Sean. I'd appreciate it.
I'll make note of that, and yeah, we should talk about it.
Gary, I do want to thank you for being here again, but I also want to use this opportunity to get a little bit of a shout out to your business, to where you work and everything, where you've been. Gary, where is that again?
Mickey's Chip Up in Kellner.
If you have been into the Kellner area, I gather that you probably know that bar. You know that establishment. I've been there many times myself, and I would love the place. So we want to send a shout out and a good morning to a great local business that's been in this area for a very long time doing great work.
Yeah. You know, we were talking before about, people having too much to drink, basically, and needing a ride. Well, we're a neighborhood bar, you know. And when I attend bar, I know if people are drinking more than they normally do. So we take care of each other. You know, Bill, I don't think it's a good idea. Well, I know you can drive. That's not the problem. And we'll have somebody drive your car home. It'll be home and this kind of stuff. And, you know, and most people now are smart enough that they accept it. You know what I mean? And that's a nice thing, you know, because the big thing also is I don't have my car home or whatever, But we take care of the people there. And as a bartender, there's a fine line. You give them another beer, you know, and stuff like this. But usually what I say is, okay, you can have another beer, but how about we talk about a ride home? I'm not bad. I said, I didn't say you were bad. You're fine. But you know what? A deer runs into you. You get a drunk driving. Is that worth it? You know?
Oh, so. You're good, Gary. You're good. You got all the angles. You've heard it all. You got a bet. That's smart. And I really appreciate you addressing that topic. Any time would be good, especially this time of year. Yep. The work that you and other bartenders do, working with clientele and being able to get that situation handled, everybody gets home safe, it's one less job for them. It's one less job for our police departments, our sheriff departments, and they can focus on other things.
And, the word is always, the cops like giving out drunk drivers. That's such BS.
Yeah.
They don't want that. They're regular people. That's the worst thing they want to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're not looking for this crap. But when people are doing bad things, you know, if they let them go, then they run into somebody down the road, you know, they're in trouble. So I think our police do as good a job as they can. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They get a bad rap on a lot of things. But as a bartender and stuff like this, it's our job to take care of the people, you know. There's, you know, when sometimes people come in, you don't know they had a lot to drink to be in some other bar. So you give them a drink. Man, as soon as you see that, I just take it away. You had too much to drink.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I said, you had too much to drink. I'm not, you know. But what just do you do with them then?
Bartender.
You
know? Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that, Gary. And appreciate you being here with us today. Thank you so much for the time. Sean, thank you for bringing Gary
in. You bet.
Appreciate you, Sean. If people have follow-up questions, they want to reach out to you, talk with you, how can they do that?
Feel free to get a hold of me at the Sheriff's Department, 715-421-DISPATCHES, 8701.
And, of course, we encourage you to go to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media's YouTube page. Subscribe to that page. A big shout-out to you and your team, Joe. Thank you. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
Don't search through the phone book for hours looking for help. Don't waste time being transferred from department to department looking for answers. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, simply dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Free and confidential information and referral is available throughout central Wisconsin. Dial 211 and get connected and get answers.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get
WFHR
out of the McDonald's
Wisconsin
drive-thru,
Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.